At this conference, we're
adopting strategic acceleration corporate-wide, so it's just very, very beneficial that you step up to the plate and get into that book in a huge way. So even if you've done it, go back, review it. I'm still coaching people on it, and I suspect I'll coach people on strategic acceleration for the rest of the year. So just another, you know, big plug for that. But let's talk about the power of perseverance, because it's a great concept. And why does it become even greater concept this time of year for all of us? Because, you know, the article started off talking about one of the winners of the Biggest Loser contest. And some of you are familiar with Biggest Loser contest. They're on television. They're in People magazine. They're all over the place. And one of them, this guy Patrick House, was one of the guys that was on the Biggest Losers. He was a winner of the Biggest Losers. He lost over 200 pounds. And when asked what was the most important factor for him in losing 2,000 pounds, and he said number one was perseverance, you know. He said, you know, too many people give up too quickly. And the reality of that is really, you know, we do the same thing. We give up quickly. And some of you go, well, I'm still in Manitowoc. I'm still on the phone calls. I'm still doing this and I'm still doing that. And I want you to take a look at, are you really still, quote unquote, in Manitowoc? Are you in Manitowoc as a social event, or are you in Manitowoc with a true commitment to building your business? And that's the question you have to ask yourself, because some of us play that game that, oh, yeah, I'm still in Manitowoc, I'm dedicated to my business, but are you really doing the business? Are you out there talking? How many new, my question would be this, how many new people did you share Manitowoc with last week? Where are your goals, and how many are you sharing with this week? Because that's a real sign of whether you're truly still persevering in Manitowoc, or are you just in it as a social event? Because you like the people, you like the community. And there's nothing wrong with loving the community, because if you understand what's happening in our world today, that whole concept of Maslow's hierarchy of needs is now developing around community, that really one of our greatest drives as people is to be part of community. Our values have shifted in that direction. That's why social networking works so well. That's why Twitter is working, because we become tribes. We follow people. There's a great book out there called The Tribe that talks about this. I mean, there's a concept about community, and that's great if you're in the Manitowoc community. But what I don't want people to do, I don't want you to leave the community, but I don't want you to have a perception that you're in the business and building it and growing it if you're really just in the community to be part of the community. Understand the choice that you're making and then live in that arena, but don't confuse yourself with being a business builder or being somebody who really vies to be presidential or somebody who vies to solve some financial issues in your family if really, truly, you're just in it for the community experience. Because community is great, and Manitowoc has one of the best because of, you know, our consciousness around loving people, serving people, and solving a humongous global problem of childhood malnutrition. So that's our identity in our community. So it's an awesome community. But again, understand that what it is that your goal is. If your goal is to build financial security and build a business and really impact, and if your goal is to really truly support stomping out global malnutrition, maybe the idea is that, wow, I need to be more proactive. I need to start taking more proactive steps around it. So that's what we do. And so if you've given up on that aspect of it, just be a realist and look and say, why have I given up? Am I ready to make a step back out there? Am I ready to take new action? 2012, I'm ready to really do this. Because part of Manitowoc's community is stomping out global malnutrition, and there's only one way we're really going to effectively do that. And what is that? By increasing the number of automatic orders on those core products that we have in our business. So step into that realm and say, okay, so maybe you don't even worry about financial security, but that's not what Manitowoc's about, is not just chasing dollars. In fact, we're not about chasing dollars at all. We're really about chasing this huge concept of getting rid of global malnutrition. So what makes people stop? What's truly, what makes us stop or fail to persevere, we give up very quickly, and one of the most evident signs of that, especially at this time of year, is, again, getting back to fat loss. Why do I target fat loss or losing weight? Because it's the number one New Year's resolution that most people make. I mean, it's the unquestionably, undeniably, over all the years of the history of mankind, it's probably the highly most selected New Year's resolution that people have, is fat loss or losing weight. And all you got to do is check out all the new gym memberships that take place in January, and then by February, how many people are still going? And the majority of people, I think the statistic is like 67% are no longer attending after 1 month. That's a gigantic drop-off. Two-thirds of the people are no longer attending a gym after they sign up with all those good intentions. So, boom, lack of perseverance, right? And what is key to this is motivation. You know, why do people give up? So what are the difference between those of us who give up and those who don't? Motivation is one of the key issues. So we can look at definitionally what is motivation. Now, Henry David Thoreau defines motivation as the pull of anticipation and the push of discipline. So you have anticipation. What's anticipation? Anticipation is what our goals are. Whenever we set goals or we have a vision or we have an objective and understand, you know, strategic acceleration is about all about vision, right? It's what do we really want. When we have a vision, that pull, there's an automatic pull when we have clarity around what that vision looks like. There's a pull. We have a natural pull, attraction, towards getting to that vision. So that's a pull of anticipation. And what's the push of discipline? Well, discipline is like, What are we building in our life around structure and execution and focus that's disciplining our work ethic and determination to follow through to get there? We have a natural pull, and then we have discipline that either gets us there or not. And how many on this call can raise their hand and say, there's my downfall, right? Somehow we're lacking in discipline. So we talk about ways to increase our discipline, right? And one of our ways of doing that is obviously having greater clarity, having greater focus, getting rid of distractions, getting rid of procrastination, all the things we talked about when we discussed strategic acceleration in terms of, you know, focus and execution. And being very particular about being in the moment and being directed and taking action, even though we can't always see how our path is going to get there, we can see our path getting us to X. We don't have to get it all the way to Z, but we take action knowing we can get to X, and by the time we get there, we're going to have a greater understanding of how to get to Y, and then we can get to Y. And that's really how life works. Life works as... I was with Al Bala this weekend, and he even drew it out. We were talking about this, and it's always dangerous when Al and Mary Jo get together, because poor Lydia feels like two tsunamis just interreacted. But what happens is if you just draw a little mountain with crests and then valleys and then crests and valleys, and it the highers get higher and the lowers don't get as low. But we go from peak to peak. That's how our life operates. We don't go from the bottom all the way to the top peak. We go to partial peaks all the way along, and that's exactly how our life goes. And we need to look at it that way, that we meet mini goals on our way to our master goal, not always knowing what the next peak is going to unveil for us, but the idea is to take action to get there. So critical for us to see that, you know, it's the anticipation or the goals and the visions and then needing the discipline or work ethic and determination to follow through to get that direction and hit those things. Al Bala, when he talks about motivation, he has his own definition of motivation. He talks about motivation. He splits it. He cuts the word in half. He says it's motive plus action. And of course, motive is, again, what are the goals and the visions and the objectives? What motivates you? What's motivating you to move? What do you want in your life? And we're in 2012, people. What do you want in your life? What is your goal? What did you set as your goal for the end of 2012? That's a motive. That gives you the motive. That gives you the anticipation, okay? And then action. Because goals without action is like faith without action. It's dead, right? Faith without action is dead. And I'm quoting the most popular book in the whole world called the Bible. Faith without action is dead. Well, motive without action is also dead, right? So the concept of, you know, the whole concept of putting motive and action together, and the element is belief. You know, we have to have belief in order to do this. We have to have belief in ourselves. We need to have belief in our product. We need to have belief in our industry. And so maybe there's certain beliefs you need to work on, and that's where, you know, Al really focuses on that aspect, that some of those belief systems are what are holding us back. And if you remember, what did we study in the strategic acceleration? We studied the whole concept of what's our belief window? What's the, you know, exercise 2 in strategic acceleration was all about what are our understandings about ourselves? What are our beliefs about, you know, they had 10 different items about what is your beliefs in? What do you believe about self, motive, you know, and all those things, answering those questions. So beliefs are critical because they are very, very powerful in forming our view of what the world is like. They really are that window to the world for us, is our belief system. It's what our influence is on how we have, what our world view is our belief system. So, and goals are no good, only wishes if you fail to write them down. And that's that, you know, he emphasizes that. He says unwritten goals are little more than wishes. It's interesting that the word wish sounds much like the word wind. Here one moment, gone the next. And that's really what happens to our goals if they're not clear and they're not defined and they're not distinct and they're not in writing. So for those of you who haven't taken the time and energy to do that yet for 2012, I highly suggest you sit down and go through that activity. Very critical for us, and critical for us to have that, because from goals come plans, and planning is crucial. It's spiritual, it's biblical, it's part of who we are. It's part of our ability to achieve what we need to achieve in our lifetime. And whether you choose to achieve or not is a choice. And I think all of you are in a direction, you're on this call because your willingness to achieve something greater. So let's set those goals and be clear about that, and they need to be in writing. And he also suggests that, you know, written goals are critical for another purpose, and we've gone over this over and over again, but just it might be a new twist for some of you. He says that, you know, you want to write down the goal so you can see it, you can show it to others. He suggests you plaster it on your refrigerator. Sometimes we do that with weight loss. We'll put a picture of, you know, somebody very thin, you know, and I don't mean somebody, you know, who's like anorexic. I'm talking about, you know, somebody, if you want to lose 20 pounds, put somebody that you think is attractive on your refrigerator and say, I'd like to have her figure. And not something ridiculous, because again, the more, if you get something ridiculous, you're going to lose belief. Okay. Understand this, people, that belief plays a huge power here. So if you put something ridiculous on your refrigerator, you're going to lose the belief that you can achieve it. And then what happens is you give up on it. So all of a sudden your perseverance dies because you've chosen something outrageous. So, you know, put a picture of somebody that you'd like to have. You'd like to lose 20 pounds, or you'd like to lose 30 pounds. Somebody that is reasonable in weight that you'd like to have. I thought what was great, I don't know some of you, there was somewhere I saw, and I don't know where it was, I saw a picture of Julia Roberts. Some of you know Julia Roberts, an actress, right? And she's had two children now, and she was on the beach, and she had just a normal figure. She wasn't one of these, like, you know, to die for figures. She had a little belly on her because she's had a couple kids, and she's not one of these people that's a fanatic about looking perfect. Probably Jennifer Aniston might be one of those fanatics about looking perfect, but I don't want to suggest to you everything she goes through to get there, because none of you would be willing to do it, and I wouldn't want you to do it because it's unhealthy. But the idea of what Julia Roberts, and it was wonderful, because maybe that's the picture that you need, but something that's real, something realistic for you. But put that on your refrigerator. He says, when you don't get a visual of it, when you don't write it down, when you don't show it to others, then you have not yet informed your subconscious mind that the goal is really important for you. And if you haven't, the subconscious mind is that's where you store all your beliefs. So if you can't convert your belief system into believing that it's important to you, and that's why some of you have a hard time with platinum presidential, or you have a hard time with presidential, or yeah, because somehow you've defined it for yourself to be all about the money, or that's what it is. And that's why some of you, when you hear some classic network marketers who talk about money, 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 it shuts you down and it turns you off, because you don't look at money as the important concept. And you know what? I'm totally in your bank. I didn't get involved in Manatech for the money, right? That's not my purpose for being in Manatech. And for some of you on the call today, maybe it is. But for a lot of you, I know your hearts, I know your community, I know your consciousness is not all about money. But the cool thing about being able to achieve that level is because of what it can create in your life. So your goals don't need to be drafted around money. What they need to be drafted around is I want to be a church builder in Brazil, which in effect means I want to be able to contribute my energy 2 weeks a year in Brazil in July, but I'm able to put $10,000-$12,000. And that's what my, see, that's how I define myself, is spending 2 weeks in Brazil every summer, and I'm contributing $12,000 a year to build, I'm contributing at least one new church building to Brazil every year. Is that an awesome thing? So Mary Jo Hilliker can know I'm contributing one new church in Brazil every year, because that's what it costs to build a church in Brazil, $12,000. Not very much, is it? You do it in the United States, it's $1.2 million, but you do it in Brazil, it's $12,000. Talk about stretching your funds a long way. Any of you on this call who want to be part of my P70 group, you just send me an email. You can also be a church builder in Brazil. So how neat is that? But see, that's the definition you give it. So now it's not Mary Jo searching for money. It's me about what the money means. So get rid of the money concept for yourself, because that will probably never motivate you. But the idea of what you do with the funds becomes your visualization, becomes your goal, becomes the fixation, your belief system inside taps into your core beingness, your core principles, and drives you like no tomorrow. Because I know if I don't contribute that $12,000, Ubelita will not have a church building next year. And I've been to Ubelita, so how powerful is that? But you don't have to be there. You don't have to have interacted with the beautiful people in that small community in Minas Gerais. All you need to do is know their needs out there everywhere. And that's what you start building into your belief system. You build that into, that's why you want it. That's the goal you have. And just part of the way, mechanism of getting there is through Manatech. Because to me, there's no better vehicle of achieving financial security for your family, for being able to be a pass-through, which is what all I look at myself as. I am just a pass-through. God blesses me with money. I pass it right through and pass it on to others. Pass-through, pass-through, pass-through. That's why when Mary Jo became presidential and silver presidential, I didn't buy a bigger house. I didn't buy a bigger car. I didn't do any of that. I live in the same house I lived in 10 years ago. In fact, I want to downsize. And you know, it's just like, it's a pass-through. We're pass-throughs. What am I creating every day? That's what I want to do. I want to be a blessing every day to people in my life. So build that, write it down, present that, and then that's the driving force for you. Because perseverance will not occur in your life if you don't believe in what you're fighting for and what you're driven to and what you want to create. And trust me, if you don't have that visual right now in your life, just get on your knees and start asking the Lord for it. He'll give you 101 things to visualize about. Okay, so great. So everybody got that? Our subconscious is important, so we got to feed that. We got to feed that, knowing that, wow, do I have them? And today, I have so many things the Lord's laid on my heart and so many things I want to do and so many things I want to do better and bigger that it's like, okay, it's endless. How much income I'd like to, you know, get into my life and flow in my life, because there's so many things I want to create out there. It's just a beautiful place to be, and so I love it. And it's a place where you want to structure your life so you can see that visual for yourself, whatever that might be for you. So what does that require? Well, he writes in his article, he talks about there's six barriers that keep our goals from becoming a reality. And the first one he states is the lack of clarity. Now, where does this ring a bell for all of you on my Monday calls? You go right back to that whole Tony Jiri experience around strategic acceleration. Remember, the first two trainings of the four trainings I did on that book focused exclusively on clarity. How important is clarity? Right? Clarity. It's really so critical for us. And clarity is absolutely crucial. And he talks about clarity, you know, it's the whys. It's, you know, and we need clarity. We need the why. You have a goal and you need to understand the why or the purpose of that goal. Understanding the why, right? You must know why you do what you do, which requires that you understand the purpose and value of all that you do, right? You can't just say, okay, well, you got the purpose and value around it. And so we want to have clarity around that. The goal is, example, the why, the purpose and clarity. All this language that came out of this article is identical language that what we saw in strategic acceleration. your basic definition of clarity is what? We keep, remember, we learned this in strategy. Our basic definition of clarity is having an unfettered view of your vision, which is what you want and why you want it, fed by an understanding of its purpose and value. And if you don't have that done, go back and do those definitional exercises in session one, session two of our, you know, strategic acceleration classes. Because, you know, without clarity, we know one thing. We need to voluntarily change, right? People, no one's going to change us. We choose to be different. We choose to shift. I choose to change every day of my life. I work on Mary Jo every day, every day. And I watch myself transform day in and day out and day in and day out. And I see the differences in what I'm creating in my life. I see the differences in who I'm being in my life and how I interact, whether it's with my kids or my spouse or the church or my foundations, whatever it is. There's just a greater compassion, a greater heart, a greater beingness, a greater commitment level because I work on myself every day. And because without clarity, okay, without clarity, we're not going to be willing to change. And life requires voluntary change. Because if we don't change, what happens to us? We stagnate and die. Change is what is incredibly critical for each and every one of us. So looking at what am I changing this year, you might not even know what that change looks like in the end result, but you have a visual of who do I want to become? What do I want to create? What do I want to make a difference in this world? And we start working towards that, okay? So, but you have to have clarity. You have to have clarity or you're not going to be willing to change. You're going to be say, okay, I'll just stay in status quo. Because why? What's the easiest thing to do in life? Stay stuck. Stay in status quo. Redefine status quo as a beautiful existence so that you can feel comfortable staying stuck in it. Well, status quo to me is not very comfortable. Status quo is boring. Status quo is not affecting the results that I can affect. I don't know how many years I have left on this planet. I might have 10, I might have 2, I might have one day, I might have 50. But whatever it is, I want to make the most of my life. And that means impacting other people. So for me, that's the directional. So let's look at that. Let's define clarity. Let's make sure we have clarity because without clarity, we're never going to meet those goals. And that's why this is one of the biggest, why does Tony Jiri spend half of his book is just on the issue of clarity. Because without that, again, we're not going to make a direction. So the why, the when, the what. And notice what he defines as the what in clarity, current situation versus end game. Does this ring a bell for some of you who worked around, right? Worked with me in the Tony Jiri thing. If you remember in session one, if you go back to your outline, you're going to say to produce clarity, 2 points must be factually known. One, where you want to be when your vision becomes reality. In other words, the goal, right? Vision becomes reality, where you want to be. And two, an objective understanding of current conditions. And that's exactly what he says, the same thing. Current situation versus end game. And why is that important? Because there's a pull between the two. You know, you've got to know where you are first and then be very clear on where that vision is going to be. Where are you going to be when you achieve that vision? That's what's going to create the anticipation, the pull. Remember when Henry Thoreau said the pull of anticipation? That you got to have clarity, but you got to start out with where am I in today? Where am I going to be? That's clarity, all critical for us. Okay, let's move on to the second barrier. What's our second barrier that holds us back? It's lack of commitment. And lack of commitment comes from a lot of things. You know, a lot of people don't like commitment because it's scary. You look at it as accountability, and people, when I use the word accountability, people just go, like they curl up into a little ball. They become that little snail that pulls his head back in his shell. You know, accountability is awesome. Why? Because accountability is about making something happen. It's about creating results. You should fall in love with the word accountability. It should be your favorite word in the dictionary, accountability. Why? Because that's what's going to help you achieve, and that's the support system you build around you so that you get things done that you're committed to getting done, that you can be committed, stay committed. Because if you don't have accountability, then guess what happens? There's no commitment. Because then it's all based on your own self, you know, motivation. And a lot of people aren't self-motivated. A lot of people aren't self-driven. You know, some people look at me and go, Mary Jo, you don't need an accountability partner. And I said, well, I can use accountability partners as well. Lydia, in her own way, is an accountability partner. Al Ball is an accountability partner to me. You know, when I see people that are great achievers, I look at them and I say, I need to be more like them. So what does that need to be? They represent accountability partners for me. But I am self-driven as well. But each one of us needs to have commitment. We need to have that commitment, and we need to support that commitment that we have. So commitment is an intentionality. It's not a wish, a whim, a dream. Oh, I want. That's not commitment. Commitment is this. This is the languaging around commitment. I'm going to do this no matter what. It's that kind of languaging that really makes up commitment. I'm going to do this no matter what. So writing down goals, writing down, you know, what am I going to create this week? What am I going to create this month? What am I going to create by the end of 2012? Be committed to it. Write them down. Share it with others. Put something at risk. Have accountability partners. Take on the attitude it will happen no matter what. Right? Those are the kind of things that help drive that commitment level. Be committed to it. Be intentional about it. Don't allow excuses to enter into your life because you're committed. And hold on to that commitment and use that language of commitment. Number three, the third thing that stops our goals from becoming reality is lack of belief. And that's another problem. If you don't believe, what's commitment? It doesn't exist. And where is our belief system? We have a problem in belief system about ourselves, about money, about our future, about all the things that are in Tony Jerry's system. Right? It's exercise 2 of strategic acceleration. If you go back into that, we look at what are your current beliefs about 10 different factors. Exercise 2, just circle that in your notes today. Exercise 2. That exercise 2 is really your window. It's between you and worldview. That's your window. That's how you look at the world. So you versus the world, in between you and the world is this set of belief systems. And that's how your worldview is effectuated. You complete your worldview by what's in that belief system. So when you go through that exercise and you say, what are my belief systems? And you put all your things down there. Then you get a reality check about, wow, whether those are right or wrong, they are totally influencing your worldview. They're the structure of your worldview. So lack of belief or beliefs, like let's take, for instance, in self. Somebody I was working with put down, well, I need to be this, I need to be that, I need to be, and that was what they wrote down. And that was their perception of self. And when I sat there and coached them, I said, wow, your belief in yourself is that you're a needy person. Your belief in yourself is that you're not enough for some reason. Do you see that? And they never even saw it. They didn't even see it. They wrote down the language, but they didn't see it. Well, if your belief in yourself is that you're not enough, what is your worldview? How is that going to impact your worldview? I'm going to tell you something. You're going to play life so small because you have an excuse because in your life you're not enough. If 2 years ago I would have asked you, how are you going to stomp out global malnutrition, you would have looked at me and said, I'm not enough. Because that's such a huge problem, it's nothing I can change. But today I can ask you that question and you can say, wow, Mary Jo, I can stomp it off because I want to be on stage next year getting one of those big checks that you got, showing how much you contributed, my organization contributed to stomping out global malnutrition. Right? Are you following me? Isn't that a neat thing? Just set a goal for yourself. Maybe your goal is you have 10 people on automatic order today. So what if you said, you know what? I want to help twice as many children stay alive in 2012. So my goal is to double my downline. I'm going to have 20 automatic orders for these core products so that I can look at myself at the end of the year and say, wow, I've doubled the number of people that are now children that are being saved. just by my activities during this year. That's an awesome goal. But you got to believe in it. You got to believe. See, the belief is today you now have a stronger belief because now you have a mechanism, right? But maybe it took you a mechanism in order to get there. But at least establish that belief. You need to have a belief system. You are enough. And so if you put in that belief system about yourself that you need this or need that or this or that or you're this or that, you know what? Change your languaging because it's wrong. And you might say, well, Mary Jo, I think it's really right. No, it's not. It's not right because it's just something you've created. It's shortcoming. You just built a backsliding analysis of yourself instead of a forward-going analysis of self. Change that belief in yourself and watch what happens to your worldview. Unbelievable. But if that's a limitation for you, you're already stuck. You're dead in the water before you get out of the box. So maybe that's one of the reasons why goals have never worked for you, because your belief system is so shattered and so tainted that you need to work on that. So huge influences in our life, beliefs. The fourth concept that keeps goals from being a reality is our lack of passion. Passion. And some people ask me, Mary Jo, how do we build passion? How do we build passion? It's a hard thing to build sometimes, isn't it? It's, you know, some people say, well, you either have it or you don't. And I go, no, it's not you have it or you don't. It's a concept about, you know, having a true vision. That's really a true vision. Because, you know, what are we building inside of us that's so important to us? You know, I'd never been to Brazil in my entire life. Today, I have an unbelievable fire in my belly about Brazil. Now, there's nothing special about Brazil. It just happens that that's the, you know, the mission trip I went on that created this fire in my belly. I always had a fire in my belly for the Lord, but now I've got a directed one about Brazil. There are 100 countries out there. I mean, you could have a fire in your belly about 100 different guys. It doesn't, whatever it is, but you've got to, you know, be passionate. You've got to get that fire in the belly going. And the fire in the belly comes from what? Distinguishing your current situation from your vision. That's what drives that fire in the belly. That's the pulling effect, you know what I mean? If you don't have a pulling effect in your life, then you're always going to be pushed, and that never works. If you feel like you're pushing people in your downline, you haven't helped them visualize, build a vision that they need to have. This is a great concept for some of you. When you're coaching people or you're looking at people in your organization, you're going, oh, my gosh, I feel like I keep pushing them. I'm the one that keeps pulling them across the finish line, and it drives me crazy because it takes so much energy. I'm going to tell you, stop it. What you haven't helped them with is building their own vision. And that's from their vision and their current circumstances. That's what creates that fire in the belly. And you can start off with something small that's doable, okay? And we're going to talk about that as the next issue around barriers to keep your goals from working is lack of congruence. But right now, we need to have that passion. We need to be passionate about it. We need to feel full of fire about it, that we're important, that what we're doing is crucial, and be driven to accomplish that. I loved his comment in his article. He said, vision without action is hallucination. Vision without action is hallucination. And some of you need to take that quote and plaster it above your computer because you talk about all these visions or these concepts, but you don't take any action to create them. So it's time we're in action mode because that vision is a hallucination if it has no action. Right? It's just like the concept of defining motivation. What's a critical part of motivation is action. Action. Right? All right. The fifth concept of what's holding us back from meeting our goals is lack of congruence. And lack of congruence is a simple concept. It's a concept that you sit back today, and this is why you want to work with your people on building their goals, is that you sit back today and you say, I have a brand new person that just registered in Manatech, and she wants to be platinum presidential by December. And you go, okay, now why is it that Mary Jo wouldn't support somebody in that goal? Because I think it's very unrealistic that it's going to happen. And that means that if the person doesn't get their four business partners in their first week, they're probably already losing out on their end goal. Because they'd almost have to operate that at that level. I mean, it takes a huge amount of action to get the platinum presidential in 1 year. And I saw some business plans, in fact, coming out of Florida, I think somebody drafted one that showed platinum in 6 months or 8 months or something. And I don't like that. And here's the reason I don't like it. I mean, it comes from, you know, this Power of Perseverance article really set forth in me that the reality of why I don't like those kind of business plans. First of all, no one's ever done it. I mean, I think even our friend Soo-Yeon Kim, who became platinum very quickly, she didn't do it in 12 months. She might have done it in 2 years, but again, it was the opening of a brand new country, and she had all that other momentum built that helped her get there. But the idea that somebody's going to come out and do that is just so unrealistic that it blows their whole goal out of the water, and it causes them to be discouraged. And what happens is they'll never hit their goal because it's out of congruence with their, reality. But it might also be inconsistent with their values or their belief system or their other goals or their capabilities. So make sure that the goals are something that's realistic. I mean, remember goals, SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, right? It's got to be something attainable. If it's so pie in the sky, you're not helping anyone by setting that for them. I remember when I was, I'll give you a story about when I became a Manatech associate, when I decided to do this as a business, right? I remember my upline said to me, she said, my presidential upline was working with me, and she said, Mary Jo, you can be presidential in 1 year. She said it would take me, you know, it was like March of 1999, and she said, I think it was 99. Hopefully. She said, by the end of the year, you should be presidential. He says, you have the capacity to do that, da-da-da-da, and all this kind of stuff. Well, the problem with my upline presidential was she missed my number one core value, which was contribution. And setting a goal of being presidential in 9 months was totally contrary to my value system. My number one core value is contribution. So what was Mary Jo going to look like in Manatech? This is from day one, people. What was I doing? I was doing opportunity meetings for people cross-line, it was for me, for other people in my upline, you know, organization, because we had monthly meetings at our house. I was doing support calls for them. I was doing, started a Monday call. I was dedicating my time and energy to helping everybody in the Manatech community because I was what? My core value was contribution. So what happened to Mary Jo is that she worked really hard at her business, but she also did what was natural to her, which was to contribute to everybody. And December came along, and guess what? Now, I was making good money. I think at the time, because of the way the compensation plan was, I was making a ton of star bonuses and things like that, because I had star legs. I understood how to work the compensation plan. So I was making like $4,000 a month. And a lot of people would say, wow, in 9 months, that's awesome to get to that, right? But for me, I was a total failure because the goal that my upline set for me was presidential in 9 months. And so it was devastating to me that I didn't hit the goal. So here it was, this whole concept about what does that do to a person when they don't hit a goal? And all of a sudden, I felt inadequate. I felt like this wasn't my business for me. I couldn't do this. This was too easy. So I started venturing out, and I actually took on, a lot of you don't know the story, but I actually went out and I started doing another business. I was hired as VP marketing of a company. I still did Manatech on the side, but I started doing something else because it was like, you know, this whole experience around the goal setting that wasn't consistent with my values shook me. And it wasn't until my wonderful person in my organization, Marlis Wickstrom, came to me 3-4 months later, and she said to me, she goes, you know, Mary Jo, we need you back. It was beautiful. She was just awesome. In 2000, she said, we need you back. And from that time forward, I think I quit my marketing job like 3 months later. I was out of that, and I was back in doing Manatech full time. And a year later, I was presidential. But it was, but the idea was that, again, I tell you the story just to let you know that this lack of congruence in goals versus consistent with values, belief system, other goals that you're setting and capabilities, you got to have a consistency there. There's got to be a congruence. If they're too outlandish or they're incongruent, that's going to short-circuit your belief system and your ability to get it done. Or it's going to cause a side effect of devastation when a person doesn't meet it because you've done something, you know, and then you might lose them because of that issue. And you don't want to do that for people. So stick to realistic. I love this new 18-month plan. You know, I'm working with some people. I don't know how many of you are doing it, working this 18-month plan with true business builders. But, you know, I work with my people, and it's like, okay, we're going to get this done. Okay, how are we doing it? Da, da, da. And, you know, we got two in. We need to find two more in the next 2 weeks, so let's make this happen. And we're really driven to doing it. And it's just one of those things, driving forces that, it has to happen. And it's very doable, and that's what I love about it because it is so doable. But you just got to really focus on making it happen. You got to get really fine-tuned to making it happen. And it takes a ton of energy, and sometimes it takes an excessive amount of energy, but that's how it happens. So everybody's on board with making sure it make it happen, all right? So the 18-month plan is a great plan for people who are true business builders. Now, if somebody comes on board and, you know what, their goals are inconsistent with that, or their belief system is inconsistent, that's why that exercise, too, should become one of your landlock exercises you do with everybody that joins your business. Everybody who joins your business should do exercise 2 with you, and you should coach them through it. And if you don't know how to do that, you should talk to your upline and work with somebody who could coach you through that. Because it's what they write down is their first, the current belief system around those 10 issues. And then you work with them on how is it serving you. Don't make them wrong. Don't use the language right, wrong, because that's judgmental. But use the language about how is it serving you. Is your current belief system around this serving you? What could be a better belief system that would serve you moving forward? Because truly, you go, well, Mary Jo, how do you change somebody's belief system? I don't change it. They choose it. Your belief system is chosen. You could say, well, Mary Jo, my belief system around this is based on, and I go, yeah, it's based on your experiences in life, but somebody who had a totally different set of experiences isn't wrong. It's not a right and wrong. It's about what you've chosen to believe about something. You may choose that your belief system serves you exactly where it is. Exactly. And sometimes, why does a bad, negative belief system about yourself serve you? Because it allows you to be victim the rest of your life. Some of you are living in that arena. Oh, my gosh, I was beaten as a kid, so I get to go victim, and my belief system is that I'm victim, that somebody did this to me, and I'm not responsible for my life because of it. Wow, that's a favorite in our society today, and it really stinks because people don't show up. You know, and our world's only as good as it needs to be if everybody shows up. So if you have excuses in your life why you're not showing up, you're one of those people that are just going victim. So we need to stop it. Because I don't care what's happened to you in your life, you can show up. And that means take all that you got and apply it to what you create. Because we need people creating things. And if you don't agree with me, read the newspaper today. But I wouldn't want you to do that because you might go into depression. But we need you to show up. So let's be big about this. Let's choose belief systems that really, you know, support us and move us forward. And then let's make our goals set based on consistency with those beliefs. Let's go talk about the last factor, which is lack of focus. And again, is this not a home run ball with Tony Jerry, right? Strategic acceleration. What was the second? Clarity plus focus plus execution. Focus. Step 2. See December 11th training in the Manatrain website because it's all about what? Focus. It's important for us to have proper focus. Focus is clear. We need to know. We need to say no to the good so that we can say yes to the best. That's just a quote from John Maxwell, right? So we need to be in focus. And he talked about, you know, how do we get in focus? Well, we look at how many distractions we have, because distractions are they're killers, man. They destroy you. They eat you up alive. They drive you in wrong directions. And so it's important. Clarity helps you stay focused, but you can't stay focused if you aren't clear. So clarity is the first step. But focus is also mandatory because we have distractions, whether it's sports, whether it's stock market, whether it's whatever the things in your life, shopping, food preparation. We might get off track. 101 things are distractions in our life. So that's why he has a focus journal for 2 weeks to let you get clear on what's getting you off track. And then we want to make sure we're applying our energy to highest and, you know, our high leverage activities, right? We want to do the highest leverage activities. And what's number one in network marketing? It's going out and prospecting. It's sharing with people. It's your highest leverage activity. So we want to focus on those things that make a difference for us, right? And that whole, you know, go back to that, like I said, the December 12th call. I put 11th in there. Sorry, I think it was the 12th. But go back to the December 12th call in for Mana Train and run through that focus thing. Because it's very important for us to maintain focus. If we lose focus, we're never going to achieve our goals because we're getting an alignment. And a lot of times we lose focus, we choose to lose it because we are lacking in our belief structure or we're undisciplined, right? And remember, motivation, we need what? We need anticipation and discipline. So discipline is a critical factor in there, and we need to build on that discipline. And work on the plan. Tony has great plans in his strategic acceleration book to keep you disciplined and structured and on focus, on purpose, so that we create the results that we're committed to create. And I loved, he put in the Cavett Roberts define character, define the word character. Okay, so let's evaluate character as a word. Do we want to have good or bad character? We want to have the best possible character. He defined it as the ability to carry out a worthwhile plan long after the mood in which it was made has left you. Whew. That's huge. So that's another great quote. All right, the other things that he talked about in his article is our gap between potential and performance. And we all have it. We all have a gap, right, between potential and performance. Otherwise, we would have all arrived, right? Okay? We all have incredible potential, but how we're performing today isn't up to our potential. Not any one of us. Anyone. Because we always are capable of something greater, no matter where what we're doing. So the incredible thing to look at is the high performers simply have a smaller gap. So how do you shrink your gap, right? That's our goal, is to make sure that we shrink that gap, because we don't want to have a huge gap between those things. We want to be able to be creating things beyond our wildest. We want to be able to be highest possible performers. We want to get up to that, creating our potential. So it's we really need, he talks about, you know, crafting our magnetic compelling purpose, and that's, again, the clarity around knowing our why. And the importance of putting that down. What is the vision we have for our lives? And that is what truly will, you know, push us in that direction. You know, especially a lot of people are focused on scarcity in these economic times. And if you're focused on scarcity, then you're focused on problems and the negative aspects of your circumstances, and that's going to deny you performance because your focus is wrong. And I don't want to get into judgment around it, but I will, because it's wrong. And it's so blatantly wrong, and it's so blatantly distracting, and it's so, the reason I want to get into judgment around that is because it's what's holding you back from being contributing in this world. For you, it's holding you back from showing up in this world. And I, Mary Jo, need you to show up. And you can say, well, Mary Jo, I live in North Dakota. What can my presence, you know, how can my presence impact you? Because what you don't create impacts all of us. When we don't reach our potential, we're denying everybody. It's not just a self-denial. Let me ask you a question. Here's a simple one for you. If Steve Jobs would have decided to become a junkie on drugs, because he did do a lot of drugs in college, instead of doing what he did and going after his potential, would you and I not be impacted today There'd be no iPhones, no Apple computer, none of this. Lydia said she'd be dead. But she wouldn't be dead. She wouldn't be sad because she would have never known what he could have done. So don't tell me that doesn't mean you're going to be Steve Jobs, but it means that whatever you create impacts everyone. Even though you don't see it, it impacts everyone. All right, finally, each of us has two self-images, a present self-image and a projected self-image. Our current one is a snapshot of how we feel right now about our current strengths, weaknesses, and capabilities. Does this not sound just like Tony Jerry again in our strategic acceleration, right? Understanding current. And then we have a projected, a vision of where we see ourselves in the future with those respective strengths. Again, respective strengths, weaknesses, and capabilities. In other words, we're going to have different strengths, different weaknesses, different capabilities, but how are we going to grow all of those as we move forward? It's a vision of where we see ourselves in the future. And the discrepancy between the two is the source of the fire in our belly. And that's our passion. So be really clear on this, people, and that's how you create your passion, is the clarity between those two self-images. And if you find yourself in disbelief about that future image, then do a different projected self-image. And start building a belief in you. Change that window, exercise 2, of what your belief system about self to create the possibility of a different worldview for you long term. The last quote, which said, Lydia said, knock my socks off. Come right out of the article. It says, when you stop setting goals, you essentially direct your subconscious mind to go ahead and start preparing for death. And that's how we'll end this Monday call. So let's go out and make a difference, people. I love you all. Get your work done to make 2012 the best you can make it. And then follow along in this alignment between strategic acceleration, the power of perseverance, and make sure you're making it happen. Because, again, we all depend on you to show up. All right, everybody? Love you all. Have a great week. I can't wait to get back to you 2 weeks from now. Monday, 2 weeks from now, I will be on the Monday call with a wrap-up from Hawaii. And you will get all the great stuff out of Hawaii, which I know is going to be awesome. And I have a little insight into some of that, but I don't want to share it with you until I get back from Hawaii, when it's freely shared by all presidentials, and it is going to change the look of Manatech 2012. So, love you all. Have a great week. Any last comments, questions? Did the call shake you up a little bit today? Everybody anxious to get moving now? Quiet group. All right, everybody. Have a great week. Have a great 2 weeks. And again, I'll be back in touch 2 weeks from today, and we'll hammer out all the review of all the new look, new community of Manatech.
Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Just real quick. As you were talking about getting a picture on your refrigerator of somebody that's thin, at some point in time, everybody's always been thinner than they currently are. They just need to go back 10 years or 15 or maybe even 5 years and put a picture of themselves when they were comfortable with themselves and put that on the refrigerator as a
great idea. Perfect. Perfect. Because you know what? The one thing that does, I love, you know why that's so effective is because if it was you 10 years ago, it's, what is it? It's doable because you've already experienced it. You follow me?
And it's you.
It's totally congruent with your belief system. You follow how this is so, why that's a great suggestion? Because it's already you. You've been there, done that. So you have a greater strength of belief that you can get there again because you were once there. Perfect. See how that applies with the languaging we use today? It's totally congruent. So you can say, wow, got it. That's how that's why these words are so powerful for us, because there's a congruency there. Yeah, great. Super. Good suggestion.
All right, thanks.
You bet. Anyone else? All right, everybody, I love you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Mary Jo.
Rebecca, great, good. So you got something out of it, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
No
love you. All right. All right. Great. All right, everybody. So long. Have a great week or 2 weeks. I'll be back in touch 2 weeks from today. All right. Love you. Bye-bye.